Would you open your Bibles, please, to a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18. How many of you recall, as a young person, and I'm going to try to position this more like middle school or high school, the person who showed up and things always seemed to become a little more risky or dangerous? That person. Now, I could have given you college, and some of you could have named that person instantly. But there are some people when they show up, and the good and the morals and the ethics all rise. And then there are others when they show up, and you know that if you don't do something to stand in the gap, it's all going to go down. I remember a kid that was grew up on our street, Danny, and he was that guy. And my dad, he wouldn't let us go down and stay the night there. Danny could come and stay the night at our place, but he wasn't going to let us go down and stay the night there. And it didn't take me till years later, looking back. Of course, Danny's serving a life sentence. I didn't mention that right now, but dead serious. But I would, you know, Danny would say things like, "Hey, man, let's go down to the road and let's shoot cars with BB guns." Well, who says that? Danny. But then the next thing you know, you're making a decision. Am I going to go shoot cars with BB guns? It had never crossed my mind to go shoot a car with a BB gun until Danny suggested it. Have you got someone in your mind that they brought choices into your life and you would have never thought of those choices had it not been for them? And bear in mind, those could be very bad or they could be very good. Last week, I was speaking at a conference in Houston. I had the opportunity to go to dinner with the couple, Byron and Liz Fike, and Byron baptized me into Christ. When Byron came into my life, there were many new choices, and they were consistently good. So when someone comes into our midst, it has an influence. So I want you to look at this text. We're going to read it from the New International Version. I think most of us would be more familiar with maybe the King James. But it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am I with them." How many of you are familiar with this wording, "I am there in their midst"? But what does it mean for Jesus to be in our midst? Let's look at another famous passage, John chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Well, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Well, Jesus replied, "You don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No, no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then Simon Peter replied, "Well, then not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. So now that I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So if you could have something there to take notes, I want you to do me a favor. Take a moment and write down what you think was going on with Peter. Just a word. Like, I'll give you an example. The words I first wrote down are cautious, confused, closed. This is what I'm talking about. What was going on with Peter? You understand, Peter isn't at a birthday party where he is a guest and doesn't know the family. They're 3 years into this. This isn't their first Passover. According to John, Jesus goes to the Passover at least four times in his ministry. So this isn't new. This isn't the first time they've had the Passover together. This isn't the first time they sat around a table. They know all the traditions, and notice carefully that it's said that the meal was already in progress. In another text, one of the Gospels, it tells us Jesus even sent disciples ahead to prepare the meal. So everyone knew it was coming with all of its customs. One of the customs being the washing of feet. But the meal was in progress and the custom had been skipped. So Jesus, being the one hosting the meal, not the one they would expect, gets up, washes their feet, comes around to Peter, and now we're back to where I asked you to consider what you think is going on with him. How many of you might vote for cautious? Maybe he's just cautious. Maybe he just doesn't understand, and until he understands, he's not ready to move forward. How many of you think maybe confused? Okay, but you do see that he is closed because he says it. No. Jesus is moving along. He knows what's coming toward him. And when it gets to him, what does Peter say? No. This isn't the first time Jesus has been told no by Peter. Agreed? So they know this dance. Jesus says to Peter, crystal clear, "You don't know what I'm doing, but you will." Now, if you can put a place marker there, I want you to move forward with me in the text and look at what Jesus says in verse 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am." One of the things that Peter is struggling with is Jesus' role in his life. Jesus comes to Peter. He's washing Peter's feet. Peter assumes that Jesus is doing something that's negotiable. That means if Peter doesn't like what Jesus is doing, then Peter is free to tell Jesus, "I don't like what you're doing. Don't do it." But what Jesus says is, "You don't understand what I'm doing, and you will." But that will is contingent on something happening in Peter. And that is an opening to Jesus as teacher and Lord. See, what Peter's struggling with is that Jesus has a role that requires Peter to give something up. That Peter is no longer his own teacher, and he is no longer his own master. Can you relate with Peter a little bit? At how hard it is to give up the role of co-teacher with Jesus. Now, if you would, take a moment in your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 21. This problem with Peter continues to plague him. It's a great struggle. If you look at John 21, they've been out fishing. Jesus comes down, cooks them breakfast. They come over and have breakfast with him. But it says in verse 12 that none of the disciples dared ask Jesus, "Who are you?" They knew he was the Lord. Why does John put that in there? John says, you realize this was confusing. What was happening with Jesus was confusing. So Jesus begins to interact with Peter. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Jesus is helping Peter orient himself to the kind of love that he has for Jesus. But then it says, if you'll notice with me, verse 18. He's talking to Peter. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify the Lord. And then he said to him, follow me. I want you to think about that. What is he still struggling with? Who's going to be teacher and Lord? What does Jesus say? Here's what's going to look like. What does Peter have to decide? Will I follow? Right? Well, notice what happens. Peter turned around, verse 20, and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And he clarifies, this is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper. That's the supper we just read about. And said, Lord, who's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Now, real quickly, whose gospel are we reading? John. Who's writing? John. Who's he writing about? Himself. John says, let me tell you what happened. Jesus is in a conversation with Peter. I'm standing in the background. Jesus says to Peter, here's what it's going to look like to follow me. Follow me. And Peter looks at me and says, what about him? John says, I was just standing there. Verse 22. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You see, the challenge that Peter is up against is teaching and lordship is something that he's willing to share with Jesus, but not to submit to Jesus. Now think with me about what it means then in our small groups for Jesus to be in our midst. What I'd ask you to do is imagine it like this. Imagine, and what I'd like you to do, if you would please make a note of this, when your small group either meets this week, if you're already in one, or when your new small group meets for the first time, I want someone to take responsibility to do what I'm going to ask you to please do. I'm going to ask you to light a candle in the middle of a table where everyone in the small group can see it. So either the next time your small group meets or when your new one meets. That candle is going to represent Jesus in your midst. Okay? And every time you are tempted to take back from Jesus, teacher and Lord, look at the candle. Ask yourself, what does Jesus want to teach us, and where would Jesus lead us? And you might look around and you might think, well, what about the people next door? What about the guy at work? What about the lady I teach next to at school? What about the other students at school? What about them? What about them? What about them? Because we do so much of our life based off of reacting to what other people are doing. And Jesus says, if I want them to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. I wonder I'm wondering out loud, if there were two people at the table that night in the upper room who were crystal clear about what they were there for. Jesus and Judas. Because the Bible says right at the beginning that Satan had already entered the heart of Judas. Judas knew why he was there, and he knew what he was going to do. Now listen carefully. Judas had already decided that Jesus would not be his teacher and would not be his Lord. Yet he's in the small group. He's there that night around the table. And it says Jesus knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. And so he got up and he took on the towel and began to wash feet. Jesus was crystal clear about what he was doing, but Judas was clear about what he was doing. You say, well, I think Judas didn't really know. I think Judas was wrong. Judas was wrong, but Judas had made a decision. It was a wrong one, but he'd made it. The other 11 had a decision to make, did they not? Are you going to get clear about who Jesus is in your life? Are you going to get clear about what lordship means and what it means for Jesus to be your teacher? There is a fascinating component of this I just want to draw your attention to. If you look with me back at verse 13, he's in John chapter 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and that is right, for that is what I am. If I now, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Now, I want you to think about this. In our normal thinking, if Jesus washes our feet, what's our next move? Wash his. Right? And you know one of the reasons we would want to wash Jesus' feet is he's important. We think he's special. Jesus says, what I'm asking you to do is not to do what you would like to do, but to do what I actually did. What you would like to do is show preference to someone that you hold in high honor. What I'm going to ask you to do is show preference to the guys around the table that you think are kind of a mixed bag. So Matthew, I'm going to ask you to wash the feet of Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot, I'm going to ask you to wash Matthew's feet without cutting off his toes. You get the feel? In fact, Jesus says, I want you to wash each other's feet because I've set you an example. In the original language, this is our word type. That I have established the type of disciple I want you to become. So become this. Become foot washing servants of me and each other. But there's a beauty in it. He says in verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So today, in a few moments, we're going to get the opportunity. And if you're a guest with us today, we invite you to join us to do this. We're actually have the opportunity. We're going to go over to the gym over in the Family Enrichment Center. And there we're going to sign up for small groups. So I want to talk to you for a moment about these opportunities. The connection groups, the vision we have for these connection groups, for all of our small groups, is that we will connect with God through community with others who care for me and hold me accountable to reach the unbeliever. Now, we're going to leave that up on the screen for just a moment. So what's happening? We're not just connecting with God as in our prayer closet, although that is extremely important in our spiritual growth. We're connecting with God in community where we receive care and we're held accountable. When you go into the gym today, you're going to notice some opportunities. And what I've got is you're going to see some of these signs when you walk in. Like you're going to see a sign for a small group up and coming that is a mixed group. And what that means is single, married, older, and young. It's a mixed group. And you're also going to see that this one meets on Sunday. So all of that matters. Everything on that sign matters in how you might decide to be in a group. You'll notice John's Creek, right? You see there, geographical. But then notice this one says Young Families. It meets on Sundays, and you see who they're led by. But if you'll also pay attention, there's another John's Creek one, and this one is mixed, all ages, single, married, but it meets on Friday. So you are going to have to pay attention a little bit as you're signing up, right? Now, I see this next group, and I'm so drawn to it. Lunch group to be decided. Is that restaurant by restaurant? I don't know. This might be my next group that I want to go to, okay? You'll notice that there are also some groups that meet some very specific needs. Our divorce group, divorce support, meets on Wednesday, led by Betty Hearn. You'll see also you can sign up for Latino ministry group. You see that? You'll see Marietta, right? You see that? But then you'll also see Sandy Springs. You'll see Swanee, you'll see Dunwoody, so you kind of get a broad look at this. Also, you'll see Young Families, so when you go to Dunwoody, you might see more than one. Now, notice this, there's group for men, right? There's also group for women. I don't know how this one slipped through, but there's one for young women. Now, I don't know how that, ladies, you just worked that out. That is all on you. You are absolutely working that out on your own. And gentlemen, let them work that out on their own. If your wife says, baby, do you think I could go to a young woman's group? Oh, baby, of course. You just go wherever you want to go. Leave it right there. That's right. Otherwise, you will not be watching the game tonight. All right. After you look at all the signs, and this is only a sampling. There's a ton of them over there. This is just a sampling, okay? Then you're going to see a clipboard. And the clipboard is going to have a place for your name, your email, and your phone number. And this gives us an opportunity for the group leader to be able to contact you. So there's a bunch of those clipboards under all of these signs. So when you go over and you walk in the gym, you're going to see along the walls, you're going to see these signs, and you're going to see them at tables in the middle. And just go meander around, take a look, talk with a friend, talk with your spouse, talk with your children, whoever you want to talk to, and figure out a group that you can join. Now, one of the things that was brought to my attention is that I have had a ton of you already tell me, well, I already belong to more than one group, but I'd like my wife and I want to do something together because they're in a men's group, or my husband and I want to do something together because they're in a women's group. That's fine. You can be in more than one group as long as when you go to that group, you're there to be a productive and consistent member of that group. Let's really give our best to each group that we're a part of. Now, how are we going to measure then the connection success? It's community, accountability, and care. So we're building community, we're holding each other accountable, because in the middle of that group will be the candle that represents Jesus as teacher and Lord. And then provide care in that group. I had a situation that was just beautiful yesterday that was such a testimony. As we have walked through over the last little over a month now, which seems impossible, the loss of our brother in Christ, Mario Andrews, his wife Ashley, and their two beautiful children, a part of this church and a part of a small group that does this so well. So Ashley called work, and she talked to her boss about coming back to work. Her boss said, we want you to, but we want to meet with you first. So she went in and met with her boss, a young man, perhaps in his late 30s. And he said to Ashley, how are you doing this? I can't imagine it. I don't know if I'd ever be able to come back to work. I don't know if I'd ever be able to face life again. He said to Ashley, it seems to be your faith. Yes. He said, it's not that I don't believe. I just wish I had your faith. And then he said, and it seems you have a lot of support. And she said, I do. And then he said, is it your church? Because he was at the funeral and he met you and he saw how you respond. And Ashley said, yes, my church. Now you understand what's happening is the witness of community accountability and care is helping another man rethink faith in the Lord. This is what small groups should be doing, right? Centered around Jesus in our midst. So what are we going to do today? We're going to go over and sign up for the groups. If you're already in a small group, come with someone and help someone else have the courage to join a small group. What's the second thing I'm asking you to do? Someone be responsible for lighting that candle. So that always in our midst, Jesus takes his place as teacher and Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to be with you, to have you in our midst right now, for us to see what you have done and will do, what you're always doing. Father, we know that we, like those disciples, like Peter, sometimes like Judas, we're all over the map, and then when we come around you and your light begins to shine, and we begin to breathe you in, then our perspective change and our hearts soften. This is what we desire. Lord, I pray that as you mold the future of our church, that our desire for you to be teacher and Lord will grow to where it overwhelms everything we are and everything we do. And you, Lord, are the only one worthy of that position. And so we give it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, if you want to, before we go to sign up for these groups, if you want to pray with one of our shepherds, they'll be at these doors. They'll be there to welcome you. You can make your way back to pray with them as we stand and sing together.
Precious cornerstone.